Have two words for you to explain this phenomenon.
Yeah.
Brandon Geyer.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 147 of Flags Fly Forever, the Friday edition of Flags Fly Forever, Baseball Prospectus Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, George Bissell. I'm a writer at BP. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew at the moment, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mark Berry. He's a writer at Baseball Prospectus. First time on the show. Mark, it's great to have you on, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's been a lifelong dream come true that I can finally satisfy for this special Friday edition.
I'm glad to hear that. That's high praise for the podcast. But this is our second show of the week, and you're probably wondering, hey, George, you said you were taking a little break here. You guys were going to record every other week. Well, Mark and I decided to do something a little different here. This is going to be a companion podcast. We're going to try and do this every single week because we are now co-authoring the BP Free Agent Watch. Now, that call has been on, it's been on hiatus because, number one, I'm lazy. and number two, it's a lot of work. So, Mark, man, I'm excited to have you on board with this because it's a massive column. And as you probably found out doing this for the first time, it's pretty interesting. I think you learn some stuff as you write the column, too.
Yeah, definitely. When you kind of pitched this idea to me, I thought it was cool. I've been doing the starting pitcher planner all season anyways, so it just was kind of a natural fit to talk about some of these starters. It's very interesting to see how the fluctuation of the ownership in the different formats, be it like CBS, ESPN, like how different those are. I wouldn't have expected that going in.
Yeah, there are some serious divides. I mean, we're going to get to some of them here a little bit later, but you know, a guy like Rhys Hoskins, like he's only available in about 20% of CBS leagues at this point, but over half of ESPN and Yahoo. So just something to keep in mind. But you mentioned it. You write the starting pitching planner. So it just seemed like a natural tie-in to have you write the pitching side of the free agent watch going forward, just because you highlight some of the matchups, you know which ones are coming up, guys who might be good streamers for fantasy owners out there. So that's what we're going to do. This podcast every week is we're going to talk about the guys that we wrote about and some of the reasons you may want to pick them up or reasons you know, the other person on the other side may have some questions about why we picked a certain guy. We had an internal debate this morning. It was good. I like that we did that already. So a little bit of housekeeping. You can read us at baseballperspectives.com. That's where you can get the free agent watch column and all the rest of the fantastic content at BP. I got to tell you, Mark, my favorite thing is the prospect reports, all the eyewitness reports and the scouting reports from the prospect team and all that content. That is just fantasy gold right there if you're not a subscriber. That's the good stuff.
Oh, for sure. Like if you're in dynasty leagues at all, you can get two or three names almost every day that you're unaware of before that are unowned in deep dynasty leagues. So it's just like it pays for itself in dynasty winnings.
Yeah, and if you were smart and you had a BP subscription, you could have read Ronald Acuna scouting reports from about 2 years ago that would have knocked your socks off. So, yeah, those guys know what they're doing. Jeff Paternostro, Craig Goldstein, you know, all those guys, they do a really good job. So subscribe to BP. That's my main message for everyone out there listening to this. You can follow Mark on Twitter. He is at Hoodie and Tie, all one word. And you can follow me on Twitter at George Bissell. If you're listening to this podcast, you like what we do, please subscribe, but then leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. That would help us out tremendously. They make us feel good. That's the number one thing I can say about those. So we do have like two banter items. I don't know if you want to talk about them real quick. I know I said we were going to get right to the free agent watch, but that's what we do. We postpone on this show.
Hey, some stuff happened today, man.
Yeah, not only today, but last night. I think we got to start with Rich Hill. You know, he throws the 9-inning no-hitter, but it goes to extra innings. He loses it on the walk-off homer to Josh Harrison. I'm conflicted on this because watching the game, it felt to me like the stakes weren't that real because the Dodgers have like a 50-game lead in the division. I mean, what? it felt to me like it didn't matter, really, in a weird way. You know what I mean? As much as it's an individual accomplishment, I didn't feel that like emotionally invested in it, which is weird to say for a no-hitter. But what did you think watching that?
I wonder how much of last year's history played into it when Dave Roberts pulled Rich Hill in the middle of his perfect game. Then it was he was just coming off the DL, I think, and had his pitch count was kind of running up. But maybe he was kind of giving him his second chance. I don't know. It did feel low stakes based on the positioning of the two teams that were involved.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching. They had Stripling warming up in the bullpen to start the ninth, I believe. If Hill got into any trouble, I assume they were going to make a change. But the fact that he kept it going, it never felt like once he started the 10th that he was going to get it. You know what I mean? Because you had to not only take the lead in the 11th, but then you had to close it out again in the other half of the 11th if the game was going to continue. So I'm not sure why he went out for the 10th, but credit to Rich Hill. I mean, I thought he handled it really well in what he said post game. So
yeah, I'll be honest, like I'm living in Los Angeles now, and so that game was blacked out for me. So I was following on Twitter and just like game day and all that good stuff, and kind of did a double take every time I looked, like, wait, he's perfect into the ninth. Wait, he's pitching in the 10th. It was just kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was surreal. And I'm sure if you were a Pirates fan, it was an awesome game. But everyone else, yeah, it was fine. we have to briefly mention the brawl that transpired in Detroit today and all the fallout from that. That was crazy to see Miguel Cabrera actually throwing punches. I never thought I'd see that day in my life.
And squaring off was another crazy thing. What did you think about the first hit by pitch on Gary Sanchez? Because I know a lot of people have some conflicting beliefs on whether that was on purpose or not.
You want to know my stance, and maybe this is because I'm a quote unquote like a millennial, and I never played the game at a professional level. Obviously, if you're gonna hit him, I just think it's stupid. Like the way to if you're gonna retaliate, if that's the intent, I don't know what the intent was. You're never gonna be able to tell because everyone can say one thing, whatever. But if the intent was to retaliate, you're gonna retaliate by putting a guy on base. To me, that's always been stupid. There are other ways to do it. So I've never liked that. So
I thought that was weird too, because just watching the game, I didn't really think much of the Sanchez hit by pitch, and Fulmer kind of shook his arm out, and maybe he was just a masterful salesman. He kind of shook his arm out after he threw it. Like he didn't do it on purpose, but, and then Conley throws behind Miguel Cabrera, and then benches cleared like four times after that.
All right. Let's talk about the free agent watch, because there are some really interesting names. There is up at Baseball Prospectus right now. If you're listening to this on Friday morning, go check it out. We're going to start on the pitching side. And the way we do the column is we write pickups for 12-team mixed leagues, 15-team mixed leagues, and then we do sort of a deep league special, a guy who's available in like 90% of leagues, give or take, that we both kind of like. So let's start on the 12-team mixed side with the pitchers. And the first guy is Matt Moore. And I lobbied pretty hard for Matt Moore in this space against my better judgment. I guess make the case against Matt Moore, because I can make the case for it, but why would you be concerned as someone who's been following Matt Moore all year? Like, why should I not believe in him?
Maybe because he's started to pitch a little better in the last couple starts, but before that and last year, he was really bad and had a hard time finding the strike zone and walked a ton of guys and gave up a bunch of, you know, runs and stuff, the things you're not supposed to do as a pitcher.
Yeah, he's been pretty terrible for a while since getting to San Francisco. He had that one stretch last year where he struck out about a billion guys, but still had like a 5 ERA, so look, his last three starts, they have been good. I think he's got 19 strikeouts and 20 and a third innings, only six walks during that span. He's lowered his ERA. I think it was up around six. It's down about to like 5.3, something like that. Look, I've watched each of these last three starts. I've actually streamed him in a couple deep leagues just because so many injuries. And I got to tell you, he's been good. Like, when you stack him up against other guys like Edwin Jackson, who I cannot understand how his ERA is so low. I've watched him pitch. There's loud contact. Like, it is balls getting rocketed all over the yard. Matt Moore, I mean, I've been kind of impressed by what I've seen. He's been pretty decent, and I know the schedule has helped him out tremendously here, but that doesn't change either.
Right, and he's getting a couple good matchups this week. I think he's home for the Cardinals and then at San Diego, which are, you know, not terrible matchups. The Cardinals are fine, and the Padres are not, but I kind of feel like this will be the week where we decide if Matt Moore's resurgence is real in a weird way. Like, yeah, if whether, he can, yeah.
Whether you can count on him for the last five sure. weeks or so. I think that's definitely a question we're going to get answered. So, yeah, I don't know. I lobbied for him pretty hard. You wanted Joey Chacin in this space, but
I'm all about these hilarious home road splits for Chacin, who has like an 8 ERA on the road and a 1.8 ERA at home, which is just mind-blowing to me. But I went with Matt Moore. He's kind of tweaked a little bit of his pitch mix, which I thought was interesting just this month. So I think that could, you know, maybe indicate that he's changing things up and this could be a different version of Matt Moore, which we've all thought he was good at some point in the past. So maybe this is the time when he puts it together.
Yeah, there was also too speculation that he was going to be moved to the bullpen. So if that doesn't light a fire under you as a guy who's making, you know, tens of millions of dollars, nothing will. So good for Matt Moore. I think he's got a shot to be a guy you can use for those two starts coming up next week. Jared Eichhoff was the other guy you wrote about. Tell me a little bit about Jared Eichhoff, because I haven't frankly thought about him in a good 6 months here. What's going on with him?
He, I don't know, like last year and then to enter this year, he was kind of a name where you could get him late. He might be good. He's shown some stuff in the past. And then he just dealt with some back injuries earlier this season and has been relatively good since coming off the DL. He hasn't blown anyone away, but he's been solid, like a 3.5 ERA, striking out about a batter an inning, which, you know, if you're looking for help on the waiver wire, sometimes you can't hit a home run every time and you just want a guy that's not going to kill you. And I don't think Eichhoff's going to kill you.
Yeah. So the ownership percentages for these two guys, Matt Moore's available in just over half of CBS leagues. We're recording this on Thursday night, by the way, so those numbers may change overnight, but I'm not expecting a huge fluctuation in those numbers by the time we submit this to when it goes up. And he's available in about 80% of ESPN and Yahoo leagues. So guy who's widely out there. And Eichhoff, you know, his numbers vary a little bit, just under half of CBS leagues, 80% of ESPN, only 60% of Yahoo leagues is he available in. So his numbers are all across the board. And I think that has to do with DL slots. And, you know, some people cut him because your league might not have enough slots. Others you may have been able to keep him, so I think that maybe accounts for some of that. But let's look at the hitters here. I mean, I'll give you my take in a second here, but the first guy I wrote about is Rhys Hoskins, just because you have to write about him. You can't you can't ignore him. For some reason he's still out there in like half of ESPN and Yahoo leagues. This was coming into the day on Thursday. That might change, but Hoskins, what do you think so far? Because I have some thoughts, but I'll let you go.
I mean, I guess it begins and ends with it hasn't been 15 games yet, or it's just hit the 15th game was today, and yeah. So it's a very, very small sample, but you can't not like what he's done in the small sample. He's walking more than he struck out so far in his first taste. He's hitting all of the home runs. If you're playing the hot hand this late in the season, it's hard to come up with a better waiver wire ad than Rhys Hoskins right now.
No, that's evident, and the playing time's going to be there. That's not a concern. You know, my thing with Hoskins is, and this is what I wrote in the piece, you know, I'm not convinced he's this burgeoning superstar, but the power and patience profile, you know, you mentioned it, 10 walks, only 11 strikeouts in 15 games. He struck out twice today, so that sort of skews the numbers. It had been more walks than strikeouts coming into today. You know, that's very real. That's a real part of his profile that I think will be there. I'm a little bit concerned about what the batting average is going to look like, because he's going to be I think the BABIPs could fluctuate. I have some concerns from that front, but if you're just looking at an immediate impact and a guy who's going to give you counting stats the rest of the way, you're probably not going to do better than this, is my point. So,
well, yeah, it's a 188 BABIP right now, but I guess that's probably because most of his hits have left the yard, which you know,
yeah, he's slugging,
kind of deflates the BABIP a little bit.
He's slugging 755 in 64 plate appearances, so yeah, that's not bad. The other guy I wrote about is Byron Buxton, because the ownership numbers are lower than I expected. He's been one of the most added players in all, you know, formats across the board in the last few weeks, and Mike Gianella and I talked about him a lot on the last episode of the podcast here, so we don't have to you know, dig too deep here, but basically since August 1st, he's hitting 300, 9 extra base hits, 4 home runs, 15 runs scored, 13 RBI, and just under 100 plate appearances. He's also 8-for-8 on the base path, so he's got 22 steals this season, and I almost don't care what the batting average is. I just think that the speed insulates his floor so much that he needs to be owned in a mixed league. Like, it's staggering to me that he's available in half of ESPN and Yahoo leagues and close to 40% of CBS leagues. So go pick up Rhys Hoskins and Byron Buxton if you're in a shallow mixed league.
I agree. I listened to that episode with you and Mike, and I thought it was a really good one, just kind of with some back and forth. But when you kept hammering home that you don't care at all about his batting average, and I understood your point, but if he's going to hit, you know, 280, then that completely changes the ceiling, I think. And the stolen bases are going to insulate you and will be value enough, especially in this climate. But if he hits a little, like, man, it's like Billy Hamilton, but also can hit and then slug.
Yeah, the batting average isn't insignificant, but I'm just being, you know, hyperbolic there. You know, yeah. I'm playing an act there, because
sure, I got you.
This is a lot of my points about Billy Hamilton over the last couple of years, because everyone would bash Billy Hamilton. Well, Billy Hamilton sucks. He's going to get benched. He can't hit. Well, my point was always, you know, it's fantasy. It doesn't matter if he hits or not. You know, if he has a 280 on base percentage, he's going to steal 60 bases. Like, that's just who he is. So that's sort of my point with Buxton, where you're right. If the batting average is, you know, he might not be a 300 hitter, but if he's a 300 on base guy, even then, you know, I think he could get to 40 steals a year. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, and he's, we always caution, you know, just because a player is young doesn't mean he'll get better. But I think there is some merit to that, you know, sort of talk with Byron Buxton, just given his age and the lack of experience he had at the minor league level. I think it matters that he's getting this experience, and I think he can only get better. That's my
take. I agree. I also think that Byron Buxton kind of suffers from Mike Trout in some ways, where he was like the next big thing after Mike Trout, and we're like, hey man, Mike Trout dominated right away, how come you can't? And the answer is because it's really hard. And he might just take a little bit longer than most people, but if he can hit, you know, some, he's going to steal bases. He plays great defense, so he'll be in the lineup. He could be a monster.
The other thing too, and I mentioned this on the last podcast, not to regurgitate all of it pretty much, but he did this last year. He had a really, really strong finish to the season, and then he was terrible right out of the gate in April. So I don't want to read too much into, oh, Byron Buxton can hit now. It's more of, is he running, and is he still an efficient base stealer? Those are the things I really care about if I'm invested in him. So let's jump ahead to the 15-team mixed leagues. This one, this is where it gets interesting for me on the pitching side, because it's a guy I really don't like, and then a guy I do. And Blake Snell's the first guy you wrote about. So I haven't really thought about Blake Snell in a while. He's one of those guys,
right.
I've never had him in a lot of places, just because I never thought he had a shot at reaching the ceiling everyone else was willing to pay a little bit more for. So what's Blake Snell been up to? Because I have not checked it out.
Well, I think the thing with Blake Snell is that he's walking fewer people now, which was one of his just biggest obstacles to overcome early in the season. He has the stuff, you know, as Joe Kelly style aspirations, but he just would walk too many people, and he couldn't get deep into games. He would come out, you know, before five innings, so he couldn't get wins. So it was really limiting his potential, especially in fantasy fronts. So in his last six starts, he's averaged 2.3 walks per nine and has only not gotten into the sixth inning once. So the longer he can stay in the game, the more potential he has for those wins, for those quality starts, if that's something your league rewards. And I just like the kind of tweaks that it seems like he's made since his early season demotion.
Yeah, his ownership percentages are all over the board. He's available in 63% of CBS leagues, 90% of Yahoo, ESPN, excuse me, and then 80% of Yahoo. So he's a guy who's out there in a lot of leagues from a redraft context, so definitely consider him. The other guy, and this is someone I like a little bit more than I think you do, he was not good the other night. I don't know how much of that was the weather, because it was humid, there was no wind.
Right.
It felt like his knuckleball was flat. I streamed him, I watched that game, and, you know, he was getting movement side to side, but it wasn't the knuckler that drops. That's when he's really effective, is when he gets that drop, that sinking action, right, late break, and it just felt like he didn't have it. He had the velocity, but it, just a tough outing for Ari Dickey. But he's kind of been good overall in the last, you know, couple of months here.
He really has been, and it was someone actually pointed it out to me in one of the comments of one of the starting pitcher planners. About, I kind of waxed poetic about the sunset of Dickey's career, and he was like, hey, he's actually been pretty good. And I looked and I was like, wait, he kind of has been. And so it's just one of those where you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, Dickey's been good, but then you just, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around him actually being good. And it's just, I'm never comfortable starting him, but he finds a way to get it done. I mean, he's been really good. In his last 12 starts, his ERA is under 3, which just doesn't seem like it matches up to my perception of him. But, you know, I guess that's just something that you have to get over.
He's had two bad outings recently, the one the other night against Seattle and then one against Arizona. And you know how I know this? Because I used him in both of those matchups.
Of course.
I've had a complicated history with R.A. Dickey, just because he's that guy where you watch him and you feel like you're having a heart attack. You're just like, because when he doesn't have it, it sort of snowballs in a hurry, and you're like, I can't believe what I'm watching, because he'll walk a guy, he'll give up a hit, he throws a wild pitch, and you're just freaking out because it's just horrifying to watch. But he's still okay. He's out there in 64% of CBS leagues, close to 80% of ESPN and Yahoo. Those numbers always tend to lag behind a little bit. I don't know why that is, but it seems like the CBS leagues are maybe a little bit sharper on the pickups these days. So I wrote about three hitters for the 15-team mixed league portion of this, and the criteria we use for this part of it is they have to be available in like 75% of leagues. And Kevin Kiermaier is a guy, the first one I wrote about, who his ownership percentages really fell off the map. And he missed 2 months with a fractured hip. But since he's come back, he's had a nice little run here. 5 extra base hits, 3 home runs, 6 runs scored, and a stolen base. That Rays offense is just going to be streaky. But the reason I like Kiermaier is because he gets the Cardinals pitching staff this weekend. And that is a right-hand heavy pitching staff. I mean, can you name a lefty besides Tyler Lyons? I don't think they have one, do they?
I don't know if I could have named Tyler Lyons, to be honest with you.
they really don't have any lefties. So Kiermaier is going to get plenty of at-bats against righties. And I kind of like him if you can stream him in a deeper league. You know, this is a guy we all liked coming into the year, and there is some power speed combo potential there. So definitely consider Kevin Kiermaier. He's out there in like 85% of leagues across the board.
I almost wrote about Kiermaier when we were doing the preseason pieces, one of the spotlights. And I just really liked how he started walking, and he had some injuries last season, but still walked more than he did in 2015, despite having 100 and some fewer plate appearances. And he was really efficient at stealing bases. I think last year he had 21 steals in 24 attempts. So it was just a guy that kind of could do a little bit of everything, not necessarily at a, you know, an elite level, obviously, but he had the skills to check all the boxes. And it looks like after, like you mentioned, looks like after this injury, he's starting to do that.
Went 0 for 4 today, of course, but he's had a good, nice little run since coming off the DL. And he's going to lead off going forward. They just don't have any other options there. So speaking of guys who walk, Mark, the next guy is Nicky Delmonico. First baseman DH extraordinaire for the Chicago White Sox. And I put a tweet in here that Jarrett Seidler, who's one of our colleagues at BP, he had a tweet today. One of the few sabermetric tent poles that has never fallen off is Voros's Law. That's a relation to Voros McCracken, that any player can hit just about anything at around 60 at-bats. And that's kind of where we are with Nicky Delmonico. I've made this point on the last podcast when we talked about the White Sox that, you know, I think there's something there, and having plate discipline definitely is a good starting point, but there was some interesting stuff in his profile, but I'll get to it in a second here. But what do you think of Delmonico overall? If you're in a deeper league, like, I think there's a little bit of juice here that you can squeeze down the stretch.
Yeah, not to throw too much shade, but you could probably use that 60 at bats to describe Hoskins too right now. I think he's better, obviously, but yeah, he's, you know, it's early. You don't know, like, things could fall off.
Remember when Eric Thames was the best hitter in baseball? That was fun.
Delmonico just is crazy to me. The walks and strikeouts are about the same. Almost, and he's just hitting and hasn't really stopped, and I don't necessarily know what to make of it.
Yeah, based on the scouting reports and sort of his minor league resume, I don't think there's any reason to expect him to keep doing this. And then Travis Sawchuk of Fangraphs had a note in a column that went up earlier this week about some of the hard contact concerns. You know, his average exit velocity is around 83 miles per hour,
which is
really low. I think the league average is close to 91 or 92, if I'm remembering correctly. And he's barreled just over 5% of the balls he's put in play, which is not good either. So this is not a lot of hard contact here, and that's what makes me a little bit concerned. But if you're in a deeper league, especially in OBP, like, He's someone you can probably use if you're in a deep format.
Oh, OBP for sure.
Yeah. All right. The last guy is Curtis Granderson. You know what to do. You know how you can use him, when you can use him. Once Bellinger returns, I think the playing time dries up a little bit, but they're just basically going to platoon him so he doesn't have to face lefties, and that's a guy who can help make a difference.
Do you know, have you heard anything about their plans of Jock Peterson? Is he going to come back up in September? I would imagine when the rosters expand, but
Be up, but like, he might pinch hit. A defensive replacement, maybe. I can't imagine that he's a guy you give starts to.
But you would take Granderson over Jock Peterson in the starting role?
Yeah, I would, just because of the on
Okay.
base, right? Like,
Yeah.
Granderson's on base. I had this number since May. His on base percentage, since June 1st, his on base percentage is 382. And that's not counting three walks today. So, yeah,
It's all right.
I'm definitely taking Granderson. This is a Brett Sayer point. Shout outs to Brett, who's been gone from this podcast for like a month. he's always been in the Granderson corner, and I totally get it. That Dodgers team, man, they're pretty good. Like,
yeah, they're decent at, you know, this whole baseball thing.
they just have so many options too. Like, that's what having Chris Taylor can do for you, I guess, that he can play basically four positions, and all the other guys on the bench can too. So
you kind of like Chris Taylor, right?
Just a little. He had his 8,573rd multi-hit game of the season today, by the way.
That's got to be a record, right?
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He had three hits today. Delino DeShields here.
Do you think the Dodger or Chris Taylor will wear a Dodgers hat or a Mariners hat into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's cold. That's cold. Cold-blooded, Mark Berry. Let's get to the deep league specials. 90% of leagues, these guys have to be available. I went with, believe it or not, Delino DeShields, and I think I would have put him in the 12-team mixed category. I don't understand these ownership numbers. They're so low, and I didn't like DeShields in April just because the playing time and the stolen base upside I looked at as unrealistic. Like, he wasn't going to get the playing time to reach that, and it was kind of wasting a roster spot in April. But now that he's playing every day and there's 5 weeks left, like, I don't have a problem with burning the roster spot on him. 13 starts since August 1st, hitting .296 with a .387 on base. He's got a home run, and he's 6-for-6 in stolen base attempts. So he's got 25 now on the year. Only 8 guys have done that this season. I like Delino DeShields down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree, especially with how widely available he is. If you need steals, there's probably not going to be too many other places to go find them. And he's, like you said, he's playing every day. He strikes me as a guy that's kind of streaky just in his career. But this late in the season, you ride it out. Like, it doesn't matter if he's going to be bad to start next season. You just need him right now.
Exactly. And he's available in 90% of leagues at this point, even like 80% of CBS leagues. So please, please go pick him up. He's leading off, by the way, too, for the Rangers. So please, please do that. We were talking about this guy pre-show, but your pick is one I am 1,000% here for. I think he's going to help people win their leagues. I really do. I want this narrative to happen, but tell me a little about who you picked and why.
I picked Tyler Glasnow, who is ultimately, or at least in the very near future, a stash option. He was not going to help you until the Pirates get another year of service time out of him by keeping him in AAA. But
which is fun.
He's another one of these guys that just kind of walked too many people, and that's kind of been his MO the entire for his entire career. But he's been just awesome at AAA Indianapolis in his last 13 starts, and he's cut down on the walks, which for him is basically the name of the game. Like, his stuff is good, and people have a hard enough time squaring him up, and if he can keep guys off the bases, I don't know. I think he could be, like, really good. I don't want to get too excited just by a, you know, 13-start AAA stretch, but I think he could be really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's made a legitimate adjustment here, and it's not just in the way he's attacking hitters. It's mechanically, too. He's pitching exclusively out of the stretch, and we were talking about this pre-show, but another guy who's had success doing that recently in a couple years ago now, but Carlos Carrasco, and there have been other guys who've done that and had it work for them. So it's not unthinkable. I think Yu Darvish is another guy like that. He goes exclusively out of the stretch. So this can work. And Glasnow, like, and it, just because of his size, like, he's 6'8", he's always going to have mechanical issues and control problems. That's just going to be who he is. But if he's striking out enough guys, it's not going to matter, because there's just not going to be enough contact to really burn him. So I'm here for this Tyler Glass now developing storyline. If you can stash him, he's out there in you know, it's only like 70% of CBS leagues, but close to 100% of ESPN and 80% of Yahoo leagues. Like, just pick him up if you can afford to use a roster spot. Like, if you have a reliever just kicking around your roster who's throwing two innings a week, just give it to Tyler Glass now. Wait a week, and then he'll be up. So
yeah, well, with some of these guys like Eichhoff, like Dickey, you're picking them up for their floor. Like, we've seen Tyler Glasnow's floor, and it was his first half in Pittsburgh.
It was like a whip of two.
Yeah, you're picking him up for the ceiling because he could really impact these like playoff races down the stretch, and he could really be an asset, especially if he stops walking people in all categories.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's going to do it for Free Agent Watch and this podcast. Make sure you go over to Baseball Prospectus if you want to read the full column. Mark's starting pitcher planner is up there as well. Say that five times fast. I dare you. Do you have any good nuggets in there that you found putting it together this week that you want to share? Or
Chris Sale's getting two starts, and he's really good at pitching, although that you wouldn't know it by watching him tonight. He doesn't have to face the Indians next week, so that's a plus.
That's good. All right, cool. I like that. And what else is going on? I think that's it. I think there's nothing else to plug, right?
This one? No. Yeah, man, that's all I got.
All right, we covered it. So for Mark Berry, this is George Bissell saying thanks for listening. We'll be back with Mike Gianella in about a week or so. We'll do the NL side. We'll probably do it next week, the middle of next week. And then we'll be back next week for another edition of the Free Agent Watch Friday podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until our next show, so long, everybody.